WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The U.S. military striking four more alleged drug vessels in the Pacific. Authorities saying 14 people were killed.
In all, the U.S. has killed 57 people since President Trump began this campaign last month.
Those drug ships aren't coming in anymore. We can't find a ship. There's no ships coming in with drugs.
Trump has declared these are terrorists and that the U.S. is in an armed conflict, but he has publicly provided no evidence of their alleged crimes or even identified them.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Hurricane Melissa made landfall in Jamaica as a Category 5 storm, one of the three strongest to ever make landfall. Winds up to 185 miles per hour and a storm surge up to 13 feet. Roofs flying off buildings, catastrophic flash flooding. A state of emergency declared. Next stop for Melissa, Cuba. A White House official confirming to ABC News that the Trump administration fired six members of the Arts Commission that was expected to review his ballroom and Triumphal Arch project. This is ABC News. Sources tell ESPN that the WNBA has offered players a 30-day extension to continue negotiations on a new collective bargaining agreement. An admission in one of the fatal California wildfires.
Weeks after fire, investigators arrested a man who allegedly started what led to the Palisades fire. Now Southern California Edison CEO is saying for the first time in prepared remarks that SoCal Edison's equipment was likely associated with ignition of the Eaton fire in Altadena, which burned at the same time as the Palisades fire. Since January, witnesses said they saw sparks coming from Southern California Edison's equipment in high wind. SoCal Edison CEO saying the company is not aware of evidence pointing to another possible source of ignition. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A newly discovered Dr. Seuss manuscript featuring the Cat in the Hat will be published next year, just in time for the country's 250th birthday. It's called Sing the 50 United States, the manuscript discovered earlier this year in California. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Bucks knock off the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 12 at the half and came back to beat the Knicks at five serve form, 121-111. Giannis with 37 points. Ryan Rollins, a career-high 25 from Milwaukee. But after the game, Doc Rivers said what he really liked was the defense by Rollins and Kyle Kuzma.
It's what we have to do. I mean, you know, our whole parts is what makes us seem really good. I thought the second half, just the effort defensively by everyone, starting with Ryan, guarding Brunson for most of the night, got tons of deflections, got his hands on the ball, got a couple of steals. Kuz guarding Karl-Anthony Towns. That's as good as you can get.
So the Bucks host the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night, tip-off time at 7 p.m. Baseball, a big night for the Blue Jays. They jumped out to an early lead, beat the Dodgers in L.A. 6-2 to tie the World Series, up two games apiece. Game 5 of the Fall Classic tonight at Dodger Stadium with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 52 this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping to around 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 50. We do have a chance of scattered showers by Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Teach Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV producer and writer and director of the film A Road at Night, John Roach. Then Door County Trolley's spooky storyteller, Carl Sarecki, joins me for some fun ghost stories.
Nightlight with Teach Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Well.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. I love that song so much. It makes me want to do the ooh, and I'm not going to do that because it would sound terrible.
Can we, you can sing a little bit. A
couple ooh's. I'm not going to do that. Hey, tonight's question is in honor of National Chocolate Day. How do you like your chocolate? We all like it, unless you're allergic to it. But I said a good milkshake, but I also like chocolate peanut butter ice cream. I like Dubai chocolate. I probably just should have said how I don't like my chocolate, which is nothing, zero, no way.
Yeah,
that's true. Conrad said he likes the chocolate peanut butter cups at Aldi.
And orange dark chocolate.
And orange
recent,
dark
if you haven't tried it, it's really good.
Also at Aldi.
Yes, also at Aldi. They also got a mint one.
Okay.
That's really good as well. And I think they got some like almond flavor too.
You know, I used to be scared of Aldi. I didn't know what happened in there. And like kind of just thought it was like, because they weren't always kept up well. Like they didn't look that presentable. But I don't know what got me into it. Like in Marinette, I was probably living there 4 years. And one day I just went into Aldi and someone said, no, they got good deals on such and such. And I went in there and I'm like, like a housewife from the 50s. I'm like, look at the savings. Place is outstanding.
You know, I'll say I did the same exact thing when I went there in college. And I saw they had little packs of watermelon and pineapple for half of the price.
Right.
And if you go to like a festival or something, I was like, thank you. I can finally eat fruit.
Absolutely. And you know what? They kind of jacked their prices up a little, but not to the same degree every place else did when inflation was going crazy. Mm-hmm. They still managed to keep it down. And that made me want to shop there even more. So, yeah, great stuff. I'm an Aldi fan.
Yeah.
Especially of their chocolate. But let us know how you like your chocolate. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app or drop us a stream comment and give us a like or a follow if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube or X or whatever. So I saw this movie over the weekend called Truth and Treason, and it's so good. It's about this teenager named Helmuth in Germany who his friend is taken away. His half Jewish friend who plays the piano with church is taken away by the Nazis. And it kind of changes his whole outlook on his native land of Germany. One of his friends gets a radio and he hears news reports from other parts of the world saying exactly the opposite of what Hitler is saying in Germany. And he starts distributing these flyers at night, posting them on billboards and in people's mailboxes. His friends help him. It's a really good movie. It looks good. The acting's good. And it's based on a true story, which is horrifying. They do catch him eventually. And I won't say anything else, but it's just a really solid film. Great critics' reviews, great audience response. And it's based on a true story. And there are a lot of parallels about what's happening here in America right now, just how polarized we are and that sort of thing. I highly recommend Truth and Treason. And I have to finish that movie I'm watching on Netflix that I cannot seem to get through, A House of Dynamite, I think it's called. I might be missing a word or something.
I saw the trailer for that, I believe, and it looked interesting.
Yeah. It's a good director. Catherine Bigelow is a great director, and I got about two-thirds of the way in, and it's nonlinear. They tell the story from different aspects, and they keep going back. So I will finish it. It's not like I didn't like it. I just don't love it. So when I leave something I don't love, it takes me a while to get back to it. But I got to finish it. I just started it the other night. We have a phone call?
Yeah, Ollie from the Northwoods.
Hey, all right. Ollie, how are you?
I'm good. You might have known I'd be calling tonight.
Listen, if there's food in the question, Ollie's on the phone.
Ollie's on the phone. I don't know much about sports or anything like that.
Oh,
and
that's
I don't
okay.
have a TV, so I don't see a lot of movies.
Wow.
So, but food is right up my alley.
Well, knowing you don't have a TV now or like sports, I got to find an angle to get through other than food, because do you go to plays or concerts or anything on it?
No, because I am kind of homebound because I'm handicapped. I have like several issues.
Gotcha.
So I listen to my good old radio.
Oh, I love it.
And that's where I get your shows, and they're the highlight of my day.
Well, that is very sweet, and I'm glad you found us, and it's great that you're a listener. So let me ask you the question, Ollie. How do you like your chocolate?
Well, I love chocolate anyway. There is But a good hot fudge sundae with nuts on is awesome.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business, while Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s, and CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back and enjoy an extra hour of rest. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. I love that song so much. It makes me want to do the ooh, and I'm not going to do that because it would sound terrible.
Can we, can sing a little bit? A
couple of oohs. I'm not going to do that. Hey, tonight's question is in honor of National Chocolate Day. How do you like your chocolate? We all like it, unless you're allergic to it. But I said a good milkshake, but I also like chocolate peanut butter ice cream. I like Dubai chocolate. I probably just should have said how I don't like my chocolate, which is... nothing. Zero. No way.
Yeah.
Conrad said he likes the chocolate peanut butter cups at Aldi.
And orange dark chocolate.
And orange
recent,
dark chocolate.
If you haven't tried it, it's really good.
Also at Aldi.
Yes, also at Aldi. They also got a mint one.
Okay.
That's really good as well. And I think they got some like almond flavor too.
You know, I used to be scared of Aldi. I didn't know what happened in there. And like kind of just thought it was like, because they weren't always kept up well. Like they didn't look that presentable. But I don't know what got me into it. Like in Marinette, I was probably living there 4 years. And one day I just went into Aldi and someone said, no, they got good deals on such and such. And I went in there and I'm like, like a housewife from the 50s. I'm like, look at the savings. Place is outstanding.
You know, I'll say I did the same exact thing when I went there in college and I saw they had little packs of watermelon and pineapple for half of the price.
Right.
And if you go to like a festival or something, I was like, thank you. I can finally eat fruit.
Absolutely. And you know what? They kind of jacked their prices up a little, but not to the same degree every place else did when inflation was going crazy. Mm-hmm. They still managed to keep it down, and that made me want to shop there even more. So, yeah, great stuff. I'm an Aldi fan.
Yeah.
Especially of their chocolate. But let us know how you like your chocolate. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app or... drop us a stream comment and give us a like or a follow if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube or X or whatever. So I saw this movie over the weekend called Truth and Treason, and it's so good. It's about this teenager named Helmut in Germany who his friend is taken away. His half-Jewish friend who plays the piano with Church is taken away by the Nazis. And it kind of changes his whole outlook on his native land of Germany. One of his friends gets a radio and he hears news reports from other parts of the world saying exactly the opposite of what Hitler is saying in Germany. And he starts distributing these flyers at night, posting them on billboards and in people's mailboxes. His friends help him. It's a really good movie. It looks good. The acting's good. And it's based on a true story, which is horrifying. They do catch him eventually. And I won't say anything else, but it's just a really solid film. Great critics' reviews, great audience response. And it's based on a true story. And there are a lot of parallels about what's happening here in America right now, just how polarized we are and that sort of thing. I highly recommend Truth and Treason. And I have to finish that movie I'm watching on Netflix that I cannot seem to get through, A House of Dynamite, I think it's called. I might be missing a word or something.
I saw the trailer for that, I believe, and it looked interesting.
Yeah. It's a good director. Catherine Bigelow is a great director, and I got about two-thirds of the way in, and it's nonlinear. They tell the story from different aspects, and they keep going back. So I will finish it. It's not like I didn't like it. I just don't love it. So when I leave something I don't love, it takes me a while to get back to it. But I got to finish it. I just started it the other night. We have a phone call?
Yeah, Ollie from the Northwoods.
Hey, all right. Ollie, how are you?
I'm good. You might have known I'd be calling tonight.
Listen, if there's food in the question, Ollie's on the phone.
Ollie's on the phone. I don't know much about sports or anything like that.
Oh,
and I don't
okay.
have a TV, so I don't see a lot of movies.
Wow.
So, but food is right up my alley.
Well, knowing you don't have a TV now or like sports, I got to find an angle to get through other than food. Because do you go to plays or concerts or anything on it?
No, because I am kind of homebound because I'm handicapped. I have like several issues.
Gotcha.
So I listen to my good old radio.
Oh, I love it.
And that's where I get your shows, and they're the highlight of my day.
Well, that is very sweet, and I'm glad you found us, and it's great that you're a listener. So let me ask you the question, Ollie. How do you like your chocolate?
Well, I love chocolate anyway. There is a good hot fudge sundae.
Ooh, nice.
With nuts on is awesome.
Outstanding.
And I have a funny little story that you'll know I like chocolate.
Okay.
When we were, my dad was in the Army, so we lived overseas. And we did a lot of little vacation traveling things. Anytime we had time off, a tent would go on the top of the car and off we'd go. And one time we were at this little resort place and we had gotten some pop, and our mother sent us back to get the money back for the pop bottles.
Okay.
And instead of bringing all the money back, we bought a little chocolate candy bar, and we had broke it up and put it in our little coin purses that we had gotten.
Yeah.
And when we were sitting in the car, there were four little girls in the back seat of the car, and my one sister, who didn't know anything about the mischievous exchange, she says, "I smell chocolate." And got my older sister and I got in trouble. All
oh,
because he smelled chocolate.
That's outstanding. Ollie,
so
that's
chocolate
great.
Chocolate anyway is good.
I am totally with you. Thank you for the call, my friend. Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you later, Ollie. We've got Amanda Nimmer, our pal here at WGBOW, likes dark with peanut butter, or from Germany, German chocolate is a game changer. I love it. We got a lot more text to read. We're going to get to those. Max Hay is coming up next to talk about his movie. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I love them.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The U.S. military striking four more alleged drug vessels in the Pacific, authorities saying 14 people were killed.
In all, the U.S. has killed 57 people since President Trump began this campaign last month.
Those drug ships aren't coming in anymore. We can't find a ship. There's no ships coming in with drugs.
Trump has declared these are terrorists and that the U.S. is in an armed conflict. But he has publicly provided no evidence of their alleged crimes or even identified them.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Hurricane Melissa made landfall in Jamaica as a Category 5 storm, one of the three strongest to ever make landfall. Winds up to 185 miles per hour and a storm surge up to 13 feet. Roofs flying off buildings, catastrophic flash flooding. A state of emergency declared. Next stop for Melissa, Cuba. A White House official confirming to ABC News that the Trump administration fired six members of the Arts Commission that was expected to review his ballroom and Triumphal Arch project. This is ABC News.
The Bucks knock off the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 12 at the half and came back to beat the Knicks at Fiserv Forum, 121-111. Giannis with 37 points. Ryan Rollins, a career-high 25 from Milwaukee. But after the game, Doc Rivers said what he really liked was the defense by Rollins and Kyle Kuzma.
It's what we have to do. I mean, you know, our whole parts is what makes us seem really good. I thought the second half, just the effort defensively by everyone, starting with Ryan, guarding Brunson for most of the night, got tons of deflections, got his hands on the ball, got a couple of steals. Kuz guarding Karl-Anthony Towns. That's as good as you can get.
So the Bucks host the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night, tip-off time at 7 p.m. Baseball, a big night for the Blue Jays. They jumped out to an early lead, beat the Dodgers in L.A. 6-2 to tie the World Series, up two games apiece. Game 5 of the Fall Classic tonight at Dodger Stadium with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Hell or High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park, maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 52 this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping to around 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high right around 50. We do have a chance of scattered showers by Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 28.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right up there on the list of stupid. The president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
They weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic.
Nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matinee on Air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matinee on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson join me next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
He did the Monster Mash. The Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the Monster
Mash. Welcome back.
From my laboratory.
This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. As we gather together, folks, to talk about the things in life that make us happy. Movies, TV, comedy, music. Some sports, some food. Tonight it's chocolate. Chad Fran, our question of the night is, how do you like your chocolate? It is National Chocolate Day. Chad Fran says, in response to Amanda's response, was dark with peanut butter. He says, how dark is dark? I prefer 85% dark chocolate from Aldi.
That's some good
that's
chocolate.
That's beyond bitter. And Jen, you got to lift the microphone. You look like an old game show host. Janet on the stream says, Justin's organic dark chocolate peanut butter cups. I think that's what you're talking about. Does that sound familiar? The Aldi
brand? I don't know if it was that exact
one. Well, either way, I'm trying
it. Yes.
Thank you, Janet. Okay, so now we are going to turn our attention, folks, to this new film that I cannot wait to see. I don't even remember how I heard about this, but it's called Now More Yes. Now exclamation point, more exclamation point, yes, exclamation point. Outstanding title. And the director has an even cooler name. His name is Max Hay, and he joins us over the stream now, I assume from Milwaukee. Hi, Max.
How's it going? Happy to be here.
Great to have you. Are you in Milwaukee?
I am.
All right. We are on WAUK there, my friend, and 100.3 AM and FM. Great. The fine city of Milwaukee. I have to tell you, Max, before we jump in here, your name has such great energy. I almost put an exclamation point after Hay when I was writing your question. It's just like one of those names. It's like, Max, hey, that's got to set you apart, man, in show business. That's a great name to have.
Yeah, it's a curse and a blessing, really. Yeah. I think, like, you know, like everyone has like their Facebook names or punk names or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those names that's like really cool to be your original actual name, but it's not that cool of a punk name. So
really,
I don't want people to think I made it up or something. You know, I was born with this and I think it's cool. But
first thing I thought was this has to be a name that you like your last name was like Dombrowskiewicz or something hard to spell. And you made it Hay. And I thought, well, that's brilliant. But you're saying that's your birth name.
Yeah,
I love it. All right. Well, very good. So let's, hey, do you have are you a chocolate fan, Max?
From time to time.
Yeah. How do you like your chocolate, pal?
I like it on a pretzel the most. Ooh. I think chocolate covered pretzels, milk chocolate, nothing too bitter and crazy.
Listen, that's a great, I've scarfed a bag of flips before on many of an occasion. That's good stuff. All right, let's jump in. Max, tell us about this movie. When I read the log line, I was like, what? So I think that's what you want. But tell us about Now More Yes.
Well, it all started with me starting to film a friend and fellow filmmaker in Milwaukee who mainly does music videos, specifically music videos involving cars. And I kind of just started shooting, like maybe hoping it could be like a reality pilot or something like that, where he buys a car and then uses it in a project and then tries to sell it. Well, 3 years later, you know, he finally sold the car that he bought in that, pilot, spoiler alert. So, you know, it ended up being more of a feature film than a reality show. It kind of goes in and out of his personal life and then his artistic life and trying to merge his creative pursuits with his way of making a living, which I think, you know, most of us do in some way or another.
Yeah. And this is your lead actor you're talking about, right? T.W. Hansen.
Yep. It's a documentary. So right. He's the man.
I just don't like calling people subjects. So I still say actor. I feel like that sounds...
No, that is more humanizing for sure.
So, but tell us a little bit about the like, what is the story? This T.W. Hansen is such an interesting character. Tell us what his deal is and what the movie is about, like what he does.
Well, I would say like most of it revolves around this ambulance that he purchases with his boss's money on the internet. I think he has a couple drinks one night at the bar and is talking with some friends about a music video they want to do. And he was like, you know, I have access to the auction. I'm just going to, you know, bid on this ambulance right here. And then, you know, he ends up winning it and his boss isn't super happy about it. And that kind of sends him off on, you know, he finds out all these things the next day, like it doesn't have a key. So he doesn't even know if it starts. Like it says it runs, but it doesn't start because it doesn't have a key. So he's trying to get it off the auction lot. That's that, you know, it, everything that could possibly get in the way for this guy somehow does. And that's part of why it took 3 years to tell this story.
And he's legally blind, right?
Yes.
That's incredible.
It's ocular albinism he was born with. It's like a genetic thing. And he had to deal with a lot of stuff that a lot of us don't have to deal with, bullying and, To walk in his shoes for a day, I think would be, trippy at best.
Yeah.
Just being able to navigate life that way. But that's just his lens, the way he sees. And, you know, I don't think it's coincidental that he ended up telling stories with a camera. But, you know, that's for him to say, not me.
Yeah. How did you find him, Max?
Well, the Milwaukee film community is actually very... I mean, not surprisingly, pretty small. Everyone kind of runs into each other or works with each other at some point or another. And I actually met him about 15 years ago on this indie shoot he was wrangling cars for. And we kind of hit it off right there. And we kind of went doing our own stuff for a while after that indie film, but still stayed in touch. And then I ended up bartending at a bar called High Dive in Milwaukee. And he frequented that bar, so that's how we started talking again, and that's where he, you know, bought the ambulance. And you know, if you watch the trailer, you'll see like his main interview is actually him on the other side of the bar, like bartender perspective, because that's really like the time, that's kind of like the time in my life was just chatting with him, and he's always got something interesting to say or an interesting way of putting something. And I was like, okay, why isn't there a camera on him?
That's so great. And you talk about that community you talked about. I know I recognize some of the names, Chris James Thompson, Andrew Swant. I think I interviewed both of them on PBS. Great guys. I've heard Frankie Latina's name all over the place. How did you, that's part of that community you're talking about. And I would say, based on what little I know, it might be a small community, but it's a pretty tight community, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah, some might think of it as like you're helping somebody out, but really we're all like equally invested in each other's passions. We kind of have to be, or we wouldn't be able to pursue this complicated of an art form.
Yeah.
You know, it requires a lot of people. So we're all there for each other. And I mean, really pretty much everyone in Milwaukee in that community has like their quirks. Like you could pretty much, any of us could turn a camera on any of us and it'd probably make for some interesting content.
Yeah.
I think with TW and his story, it just timed out in a way that it ended up being a pretty compelling story and something that I think can resonate with a lot of people.
My guest is Max Hay. He is the director of Now More Yes, a great documentary that he shot in Milwaukee. It premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival. He's joining us now over the stream from Milwaukee to discuss the film. How was South by Southwest, Max? That must have been such a thrill.
Oh, it was a great time. It was, it's surreal. I still can't really believe that I was out there representing this movie that we made with $3,000. So
wow. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, when people ask,
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
When people ask the budget, actually, I'll say like, you know, it costs more to get everyone to the premiere than it did to make the whole thing.
Where can we see it? Is it, will it be streaming soon, or are you in more festivals that are sort of closer to home?
We're in talks with potential distributors right now. We're aiming for next summer for a streaming release.
Nice.
But we don't have any firm plan right now. Next screening actually is going to be in Wisconsin in Mineral Point at Driftless Film Festival.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be November 6th, 5 p.m. Should be a pretty good time. Yeah. And we're going to try to get as many people out there as possible.
That's such a great, I was at that festival like in 2018, maybe. I was in another film, just at a small part. And I went there and I was blown away by what a really cool, well, I love the Driftless area, but Mineral Point is beautiful. And I think, I'm guessing it's still at that Opera House. I don't know what you know about the festival, but it's such a great venue.
Yeah, it is at the Opera House. I haven't had the pleasure yet, but I know my fellow producers have said great things, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
That's so cool. So where did you learn about film, Max? What's your background?
Well, I always loved comedy and theater and just acting in general, and I just was never a huge fan of plays, which can be like a problem when you're, you know,
right,
a kid in school doing like theater stuff. And I love the activity, but as far as like the plays, like I wanted more, you know, I slowly realized I wanted more control of the narrative. But I also didn't want to write because that felt too smart for my personality. But but you know, I do write, but
sure,
in different ways, I guess. But yeah, I think growing up with digital editing software at my fingertips definitely helped me just in that, you know, it's pretty much, no matter what the program is, it's pretty much the same thing. So when you're a kid doing this stuff, it's kind of a no-brainer to not continue exercising that.
Yeah,
and having fun with it and figuring stuff out, because it, you know, the options are pretty much endless with editing and constructing stories.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's funny that you say that about writing. I think a lot of writers feel like that. I love the phrase, I hate writing, I love having written. Like when yeah, you're done with it, it's great. But yeah, it's a grind, man, for sure. All right. Well, that sounds like so the Driftless Film Festival, November 6th in Mineral Point. You can check out Now More Yes. It's not a huge venue. So if it is something listeners are thinking about attending, and I would highly recommend it, especially in the Madison area. It's not that far of a drive. What would they do, Max? Just contact the festival for tickets or the Opera House?
Yeah, tickets should be up on the website. I think they'll also be available at the door. I don't have the website on me right now, but if you type in Now More Yes Driftless into Google, you should be able to get some tickets there. They're not too expensive. I think they're like $11 or something.
Very cool. All right, we're going to do a very short break, and we'll have a couple more minutes with Max when we get back, and I'm going to tell you about another really cool Wisconsin film he worked on. He's going to tell us about that too. And maybe we'll talk about his influences, filming in Milwaukee, and how cool that is, too. We're all coming back right in just a couple minutes here at Nightlight with Peach Wab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Good news. You get an extra hour this weekend. Daylight saving time ends, so remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back, sleep in, and start your Sunday refreshed. A message from your local Civic Media radio station. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9, WBZH, Hayward's Real News and Great Conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. And you've got the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at 7:20, Madison film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor Rob Thomas will be here talking movies. He's seen a lot of the new ones, and I'm very excited to talk to Rob about that. Our question of the night is, how do you like your chocolate? It is National Chocolate Day. Ross in the 608 says, hot chocolate and homemade chocolate pudding with a dollop of whipped cream. Oh, wow, that's pretty intense. Tyler from the 608 says, I like my chocolate in bar form. Under a golden ticket. Is it a Willy Wonka thing?
Yeah.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, 608ers. Well, let's get back to our 414. Max Hay is here. He's the director and filmmaker behind Now More Yes, which premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival. Very exciting stuff. I can't wait to see it. It's playing at the Driftless Film Festival November 6th in Mineral Point at the Opera House there. Just a gorgeous venue for movies and a really fun festival there in the Driftless area. Max is with us on the stream. Max, how, all right, I don't know where to go with it. I'm trying to think what I can, what are your favorite places to shoot in Milwaukee? It's got so many great locations. Do you feel like it's been exploited enough? I feel like a lot more filming could take place there.
I think Milwaukee has a lot of different looking areas. Like I remember working on, a TV show that took place in the Upper Peninsula, but a lot of like the suburbs in Milwaukee, for whatever reason, like the architecture and like the layouts look like a lot of other places. Mm. But I think in the city, you know, my stuff I like to shoot is more identifiable stuff. Like I think it's, maybe it's just because I'm from here and probably not leaving that I think it's cool to nod to my city just because, like, you know, it is what it is. And a lot of people do leave here and you know, still connect with the things that I grew up with.
Yeah. What do you do now? You made this great film for almost no money and it got to South by Southwest, which is incredible. What is there? Do you feel pressure on yourself now to try to top that or make a better movie? What's next for you?
I very much want to keep doing it and, you know, make more fun stuff like this. I have tons of ideas and stuff we're kind of workshopping, but as far as like jumping into another one, I think we're probably going to spend the next few months wrapping this one up and making some cool like bonus feature content, because there's so much that we didn't put in the cut that I think is worth exploring.
Yeah, I saw it was only like 75 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
You definitely left them wanting more. That's great though.
For sure. Yeah. First cut was like 2.5 hours and it's just not a 2.5 hour story.
Yeah.
I think like 80 minutes was probably what we were aiming for. And the, you know, there's so much to the days and like crafting this narrative out of real life, you know, it's not like everything in this happened in exact order. I mean, it happened close enough. Like, I don't think it's any less honest than your average documentary, but I'm, you know, willing to say that like I wanted this to flow like a fun like comedy movie almost. Yeah. And in order to do that, we had to move stuff around. But then, you know, with that, there's a lot of details left in each scene that pertains to that day and time in his life that is really interesting when you delve deeper into it, but it just wasn't worth going into in the film. So right. I think I want to explore some stuff with that. And then simultaneously working on this, also working on Tim, the main person in this film, he has a movie that is unfinished that he shot like 20 years ago called Catch This Fox. So I'm actually going through all of his raw media right now. Cutting a potential prequel to this movie that would be directed by him.
Very cool. Hey, you told me earlier you were part of the film Hundreds of Beavers. Such a fun movie. I saw it at the Wisconsin Film Festival, and I saw their previous film, the Lake Michigan Monster. They're so fun, and I just, when I went in there, I was like, well, how do they do that? How does this even happen? What was it like working behind the scenes on Hundreds of Beavers?
It's one of those things, I think you put it into better words before, but I think you were talking about writing, but I think the same applies to film. Like it's one of those things where like while you're doing it, you have to love it and believe in it and like know that it's going to be worth it in the end. Like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes making this stuff, I mean, you know, I spent so much time editing this thing. I mean, that's like most of the hours put into this movie were just editing for over a year. And, you know, it's easy to lose sight of how cool this could end up being. And I think the same, I thankfully had nothing to do with post-production on Hundreds of Beavers. but, you know, it was so cold up there and we're dragging this this sled with all the gear on it up and down mountains and like just every most pain in the butt thing imaginable we pretty much did, plus snow and freezing cold. And all the guys were super nice, and I couldn't have picked like a better group of people to be working with in the freezing cold. But yeah. You know, it's that you know, that doesn't mean it was, you know, total bliss being out there. a lot of the times it was very uncomfortable, and I was not very happy at the end of the day. But you know, by nighttime with the assistance of whiskey, we all felt pretty good about what we had going on, and we're looking forward to the next day.
Well, I interviewed Mike on this show, the director, and he was fun in the interview. I'm like, I was just guessing that was probably a pretty fun set, if not arduous at times. Hey, Max, can we keep you for a few more minutes past the news?
Sure.
All right, fantastic. Max is going to stick around. I'm going to ask him what he's watching. Rob Thomas coming up at 7:20. Let us know how you like your chocolate. This is Nightlight on a Tuesday, and I'm Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah. Give me a piece of
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa is making landfall in eastern Cuba right now as a Category 3 storm. Earlier on Tuesday, it pummeled Jamaica as one of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes on record.
Southwestern Jamaica has taken a direct hit, and with many areas of the island cut off by flooding, it is really hard to know the exact toll that the storm has taken, including the number of deaths, now at 7, but that is expected to rise. The officials say Kingston's airport could reopen as soon as tomorrow for emergency relief flights. President Trump overnight also said the U.S. is prepared to send help.
That's ABC's Lana Moise. President Trump got a gold medal and a crown from South Korea, but so far, not the $350 billion investment he had wanted from the country. The president is there to attend the APEC summit. Tomorrow, he will meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on trade and tariffs. After its heavy overnight airstrikes killed at least 81 people, Israel's military now says that the ceasefire is back on. This is ABC News.